up for another opportunity that he has granted us to come together on another first day of the week, to sing songs of praises to his name, honor, and glory, to gather around the table in remembrance of the death of Christ upon the cross and the significance of that death to us that are his children, and to spend a few moments of time talking about some things that will give us a better understanding of our responsibility as we live upon this earth. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that we're happy that you're here. We encourage you to keep an open mind and an open Bible. The things that we will talk about this morning, if you find anything that is said or done that you believe is not in accordance with the Word of God, we'll be more than happy to sit down with you with an open Bible and open mind, come to a better understanding of Scripture. It's good to be home. I would also say that I wish it was as warm as it was last Lord's Day where I was at, but we'll have to deal with the cold at least to the spring, but we're glad that you're here, and we're glad that God has granted us an opportunity to talk about some things that I hope will help us this morning. We live in a world where our country is founded upon the principle of freedom, of democracy. We have the freedom to make all types of choices in our lives. We have a choice where we want to live, what kind of occupation we would like to follow, who we would like to marry, how we will raise our children, and on we could go with the many choices and decisions that we have, and we have the luxury to make in this country. We need to also understand that sadly, many have carried this freedom one step too far. They have carried it into the realm of religion. That has presented a great problem and a great difficulty in the state of religion. To say that there is unity in the religious world is to really not be honest. There is not even unity as it should be within the body of Christ. There is division in the religious world. It exists. It is a reality, and we should acknowledge it, and we should not try to get around it. We also understand that there are different beliefs. Not only are there different beliefs, there are different doctrines taught. Some teach one thing, others teach another. Some teach more of the truth, some teach less. Some teach none at all. But there are different doctrines, there are different teachings. There are different practices. You could go into any so-called body of religious people this morning, and you will get a variety of ways that they are going to worship God. Some of them are going to do one thing, some are going to do another, and some are going to do things that are absolutely foreign to you that you've never imagined or never saw. But be that as it may, there are different practices. There also are different churches. If you don't believe that, just open the yellow pages to the word church, and you're going to find at least 25 pages of addresses and advertisements to different so-called churches. Does any of this make a difference? The world at large says no. It really doesn't make any difference. Even though we have these different beliefs, different doctrines, different practices, different churches, it really doesn't matter because we all love God, we're all trying to serve him, we're all going to heaven, and we're just taking different roads to get there. Sounds like a commercial, doesn't it? But you know what? I didn't just make it up. Does it make any difference if I believe in the charismatic movement? If I believe in the feeling better felt than told, this religious experience that comes over me when the Holy Spirit comes upon me and gives me this direct operation of the Holy Spirit? Does it make any difference if I accept the praise team and the choirs that are now being very much toted in contemporary religion? In case you don't know what that is, contemporary worship and contemporary religion is more updated. It is more in style with the mainstream of thinking. Now, I didn't think that up. I read it on one of the advertisements that I get from the other churches that they send in my mail. I don't know if any of you got it in the mail, but the Patterson Church down here is joining with Regal Cinema, and they're going to have movies at the church, church at the movies. I guess they're going to sell popcorn and everything else. It's going to make it very convenient. And brethren, there will be people that will go. There will be people that attend and believe that's biblical based. And then you have people that believe in the rich and the rites and the ceremony and the pomp and the religious garments that is very problematic in Roman Catholicism. And then you have the Muslim religion. The Islam faith is one of the fastest growing faiths in our country. Did you know that? next to the community church concept, the mega church concept, the second fastest growing religion in the United States is the Islam faith. It is being brought over by those who have come from other countries and they've introduced their religion here. Now, does it really make a difference whether I do one of these or many more that I could put up there? Does it make a difference? Can I just do anything? And can I just practice anything? Can I believe anything? And can I do anything and still be pleasing to God? Our world and our country says yes. It doesn't make a difference to what one believes. But I want to give you the biblical perspective of the answer to that question. Does it make a difference what I believe? Does it make a difference what you believe? What does the Bible say about that? It's a popular concept, faith alone, just believe in the Lord. It is the most popular concept in the religious world. The Super Bowl will be next Lord's Day. If you get an opportunity to watch it, you look in the stands, and I guarantee you, you're going to see a white sheet with these words on it, John 3:16. And John 3:16 to the world is a capsule answer to how man comes into relationship with God. It is by faith only. It is very much a practical doctrine of our world. We have those that sincerity is all that matters. Just be sincere. Just do it with all your heart. Just be honest. Just do it from the heart. And God will accept that. And then we have others who says join the church of your choice. Watch Robert Schuller in the Hour of Power. He's on every Sunday morning. He's been on I don't know how many years. And he'll end his service with this, join the church of your choice. Just go worship God somewhere. It doesn't make a difference where. Just go somewhere. And that's a very popular concept. And all good moral people are Christians. I worked with a man when I was in California that believed that all he had to do is keep basically the Ten Commandments, save the Sabbath day. He didn't think he had to keep that one. But he thought you had to keep the other nine because that would make you a good moral person. And God knows that all people are going to heaven are good moral people. Now, brethren, why do people believe all this stuff? Why are there 1,500 different faiths? Why are there all these different practices and different beliefs? Why are these different doctrines? Why do they exist? Why are they out there? I can answer that question. Supply and demand. What am I talking about? I'm talking about giving people what they want instead of what they need. Believe it or not, religion is based upon supply and demand. Do you think they could build these mega churches if they couldn't fill them? Do you think they could have in total attendance of thousands if they didn't do things that pleased the masses? How do they get them in there? How do they keep them? They have to make their religion compatible to what men want. And that's what's being done today. And from a purely business standpoint, and from a numbers game, they are very good at it. But the problem is, they've left one very important part out. God. They've forgotten that first and foremost, they must seek to please God. First and foremost. And so there are barriers. There are barriers that make it difficult for people to receive the gospel. I don't need to study. Why don't I need to study? Because I don't need to know any more than I already know. I know enough. Our differences are trivial. You would talk to many religious people who would tell you that our differences are really trivial. They really don't matter to much. You know, we don't agree with having we don't have a piano. They do. We don't believe in a band, and they do. They believe in choirs, and we don't. They believe in having praise teams, and we don't. They believe in contemporary worship, and we don't. You see, it's all trivial. They believe in having a recreational hall. We don't. They believe in having a fellowship hall, and we don't. They believe in having all these programs for all these people, and we don't. You see, we just differ on trivial things. And then you have, then, people that feel comfortable. Have you ever talked to anybody about religion? Says, really, I'm not interested. I'm comfortable where I'm at. You know, if you're comfortable where you're at, you're not going to want to change. You feel comfortable, you feel secure. And that's what religion does. It makes people feel comfortable. You know, it's like putting a frog in a pot of boiling water. Feels pretty comfortable. You turn up the heat and it just cooks him before he realizes it. And that's what people are doing in religion. They're just sitting in the pew and they're comfortable. And they're not understanding that there's more at stake. And then I already have a church. I've talked to many people, we get into religion, go, I already have a church. Well, you do, what's the name of your church? He said, well, what's the name of yours? I said, well, I don't have one. I belong to the Lord's church. Well, I belong to the Lord's church too. I said, well, where? And then they give me some name. I said, well, you know, we need to talk. I don't think that's the Lord's church. Well, that's all right. I already have one, and I feel comfort. You see, it does not make any difference to them. The gospel can't get through. You see, this is a barrier. It won't let the truth through. All these excuses, all these things that men feel, put a barrier between the truth getting through, and you can't get it through. Why? Because something is blocking you. And who puts that barrier up? The devil puts it up. The devil puts it up, and he lets men think that they're fine. And they can exist, and they can coexist with God with all of these differences. Well, some of the devil's most effective tools are these trivial things that people think that we differ with. You know, I think many of my religious friends fail to understand that I'm not against them. It's not us against them. It's not the Church of Christ against everybody in the world. It's the gospel against error. That's where we need to focus our attention. It is not us against them. It's not that we're better than them. It's the truth versus error. It's God versus Satan. It's error versus what is true. We need to get down to where the difference is. The difference is in what we do and why we do it. It all comes down to what does the Bible say? What does that book that all religious people, to a great extent, claim allegiance to? And if we all are, if we're all claiming allegiance to the same book, why are we doing all these different things? Now, brother, somebody's going to have to answer that. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody's going to have to tell me, if we're all following the same God and we're all following the same book, why are we not all doing the same thing? That is something that we must ask. And so, does it make a difference? I believe it does. I believe it does make a difference. And so, what I want to talk to you about this morning for a few moments is it does make a difference with one belief. Does this popular concept work in other areas of our life? What about in business? If you invest in a business believing it to be a good investment, you can still lose your money. You know what you're going to do? You're going to check it out. You're going to make sure that if you're putting your money in something as far as you can make rock bottom sure that it's sound, you're going to do some investment before you put your retirement and all of your hope in the future. Before you make an investment, you're not just going to believe that it's true. You want some evidence that it's true. Why? Because you got your hard-earned money in that. You're going to do a little bit of research. Well, what about with our health? What if I drink a glass of liquid believing it's water? You die if it's really poison. You know, you're going to make sure that what you're drinking. You know, when I go to the Philippines in a couple of months, one of the first things they told me on my first trip is you don't drink the water. You don't drink it under any circumstance. You don't even take ice because it's made with their water. Why? Because it has a very destructive thing upon our digestive system. The water is not good, so you stay away from it. And you know why? Because it can really hurt me. And so we don't take this concept in other things. It doesn't make any difference what you believe. In other areas of our life, it does make a difference. Why don't we do the same investigation when we're talking about spiritual matters? Why don't we examine what we believe and why we believe it in the spiritual realm? Because I'm going to tell you something. It's got to do with more than losing your money. It's more than losing your health. It's losing your soul. That makes it a lot more important, doesn't it? Doesn't it make it a lot more important than whether I lose my money or I lose my health? If I lose my soul, that is much more important, is it not? Why don't we take the time to do the examination to see how it all adds up with God? I'll tell you why we don't. We're just lazy. And I'm not just talking about people outside the Lord's church. We have the same problem in the Lord's church. People just taking for granted the man that stands before them is going to tell them the truth, teach them the truth without ever opening the Bible and examining what he said. It does make a difference, ladies and gentlemen. It does make a difference what you believe. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 6, listen to the words of the Hebrew writer. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 6, the Hebrew writer wrote, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." Acts 17, verse 24 and 25 teach the same truth, that we must have faith. But in John chapter 8, in verse number 21, Jesus was talking about himself. In John 8, verse 21, then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin, and where I go, you cannot come. In verse 24, he says, therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If a man does not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed from God, the deity sent from heaven to earth, that took on the form and fashion of a man, died upon the cross, was resurrected on the third day, ascended back to heaven, and is on the right hand of God, and has all authority in heaven and earth, Matthew 28, 18. If we don't believe that, and if we don't confess that, then we have no relationship with Christ. We have no relationship with God. John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In Galatians, the first chapter, beginning at verse 6, Paul was amazed that they were so soon removed from the gospel into another gospel, perversion. But he says in verse 8, he says, if we are an angel from heaven, preach to you any other gospel than that which we have preached to you, let it be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if we are an angel, preach any other gospel than that which you've received from us, let it be accursed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, consider, the Apostle Paul said, if an angel, if a divine being came and taught you anything that was contrary to what we revealed, in the King James Version, he says, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. Now, if an angel can't teach you anything different, how can mortal men teach you anything different? They can't, because they're liable, they are obligated to teach the truth. The truth is what it's all about. Is it the truth or is it false? There is a fixed standard, and we need to understand that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse number 14, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. Notice, according to what is written, there is a fixed standard. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, the Apostle Peter wrote, if any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. That is the sayings of God. Let a man speak the oracles of God. And then, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37, what about the things that are written that we read from time to time? Look at what Paul said about this in verse 37. He said, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. The things that are written, they are the commandments of the Lord. That is a fixed standard. It cannot be said. It makes a difference what you believe. If it is not written, if it is not an oracle of God, if it's not a commandment of God, then it is not what God wants. Brethren, I can't make it any simpler. It does make a difference unless you follow what is written, unless you follow the oracles, the sayings of God, or you follow the commandments of God. It does make a difference what we believe. There is an objective and fixed standard. It does make a difference what we believe. The Word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. What did the Thessalonian brethren, what did they think about the things that Paul was saying to them? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13, it says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcome it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you and in those who believe. Notice, the words that they spoke, they accepted them not as the words of men, but as the word of God. Inspired scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 16, in his letter to the young evangelist Timothy, in the second letter, in the 16th verse, we read, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness' sake, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. Everything that you need to do to equip you, to make you pleasing to God is contained in the sacred scriptures. Everything that is in the Bible is inspired. It is God-breathed. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, that eye has not seen nor ear heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And beginning in verse 10 through verse 13, He reveals to us that through the Holy Spirit, He revealed to man the mind of God. Who knows the things of God except the Spirit of God? How would you know anything about God? How would you know anything about His character? How would you know anything about what He did, His Son did when He left heaven? Why did He leave heaven? What did He do while He was here on earth? Why did He die? How did He die? And what did He die for? You would not know any of that. How are you going to live your life? How am I going to be acceptable to Him? Without the revelation of the truth, you and I would be without a God, without a pattern, without any guidance. God didn't leave you here without any guidance. You know, you listen to man today, he wants to throw the book away. There's a great, great debate now underway and has been for the last 20 years of trying to destroy the credibility of the Bible. If you destroy the credibility of the Bible and you throw it out, what pattern will men follow? I know the answer to that. They'll do what they did in the days of Judges. In Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, they had no king in Israel, for every man did what was right in his own eyes. Isn't that really what men want? Isn't that really what they want? Isn't that really what the majority of religious people want? They want to live their life the way they want to, and they want their religion to conform with what they want out of life. That's what they want. Why don't they just admit it? That's what they want, and how they're going to do it, they're going to have to try to destroy the credibility of the Bible. But it makes a difference what you believe. There is a fixed standard. In John chapter 8, verse 21 through 24, Jesus says that you must believe in Christ. He says, if you believe in Christ, your sins are forgiven and you can go to heaven. Well, what about the other side of that coin? What if I don't believe in Him? If I do not believe in Christ, what about that? Well, I die in my sin. Where does that put me? That puts me that I can't go to heaven. Now, brethren, does it make a difference what you believe? One will get you to heaven, one won't. One will remain you, get your sins forgiven, the other makes you die. Now, brethren, if it doesn't make a difference, why don't we just throw the book away? Why do we just throw the Bible away if it doesn't make a difference? What's Jesus talking about? You know, I'm amazed at my religious friends who really minimize what Jesus said. What are you going to do about what Jesus said? If you love me, keep my commandments. Man says you don't have to. Jesus says if you love me, you do. Now, brethren, somebody's lying about it. Somebody's not telling the truth. Somebody is misleading people. You know, too many people is difficult. They think that we're narrow-minded. They think that there's only one course. Brethren, I didn't make that decision. I didn't make that so. God made that so. That's why He left the Bible. That's why He left a pattern. He didn't want man to go in the wrong direction. He didn't want man to not have any guidance. He didn't want man to go in the wrong direction. He gave him something that he could follow. Why? Because God knew what He wanted. Do you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe that God knew what He wanted His creation to do? I believe He did. And I believe He left an understandable book that any intelligent person and any person that has the ability to reason can open the Bible and can reason and can understand and do what God asked him to do. It's just a matter of accepting God's authority over my own. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to listen very carefully to what Paul wrote in verses 10 through 12. And with all unrighteous deception among those who are perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. I want you to notice that you can believe a lie. You can be deceived. That means you can be misled. You cannot love the truth. And people that don't love the Bible don't love the truth. And you can be deluded. You can be made to believe that you could do certain things, and by doing those certain things, that will put you in a relationship with God. You have the ability to believe a lie. God will allow you to believe a lie. Why do people do such crazy things in religion? Why do people get in airplanes and ride them into buildings thinking that they're doing the work of God? Why do people do that? Because they are deluded. Because they believe a lie. Because they've been deceived. But you know what? You know when reality kicked in? The moment that plane went up in flames and their life ended, reality kicked in that Allah is not God. They believe the lie. Now, do I understand it? No, I don't understand it. I don't understand how a person could give his life for a lie, but people do. God says, if you don't love the truth, you can believe the lie. And that's the key right there. They did not believe the truth. They did not accept the truth, so they believed the lie. You can do that. That can happen. But you can have pleasure in unrighteousness. You can do what is unrighteous, and you can have pleasure in it. You can have fun in it. And you can do it, and you can deceive yourself that it's okay. God allows you to do that. Why? Because you're a free moral agent. You're a free moral agent. You can do whatever you want to do. But you know, the Bible says you'll be perished and you're condemned. Now, on the other side of the ledger, you can love the truth, you can believe the truth, and you can be saved. But you see what this is? This is a choice. It's a choice, ladies and gentlemen. You can believe what that book says, or you can disregard it. You can believe what God says, and He means what He says, and He's going to do what He says, or you can just take it with a grain of salt. God will give you the opportunity to make that decision. And you can walk out of these doors this morning, and you can walk out here thinking it doesn't make any difference what you do, and you go on your merry way, and God will let you do that. But you know what? That won't change one word that's in this book. Not one. Why do people perish? Because they believe the lie. You know, this is even illustrated for us in the Old Testament. Do you remember the story of the two prophets in 1 Kings 13? Do you remember what happened? Remember what happened in that he was told to go and prophesy against the king. And he told the king that the bones of those false priests would be burned on that altar. And he was referring to the time that Josiah would be king and he would make religious reform. And the king didn't like the prophecy that this young prophet said. And so he reached out to seize him. And when he did, his hand became leprous. And then he asked, isn't it like, man, he gets himself in a fix and then he wants the prophet to help him. He did it to himself and now he's asking the prophet for help. And the prophet prays to God and he puts his hand inside of his coat and brings it out and it's whole again. So what does he want to do? So what does he want to do? He wants to take the young prophet back to his home. He'll give him anything he wants up to half of his kingdom. Just say it and I'll give it to you. You remember what the young prophet told him? He said, I'll eat no bread. I'll drink no water. I can't return to the same way. And no matter what you give me, I will not take it because the Lord told me not to go back. And you got to admire. You got to admire this young prophet. He turned down great wealth. He turned down great prosperity. He could have really had it, he could have really secured himself for life. But he said no. Why? Because God told him to. But you know what? That'd be good if that was the end of the story. But that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. He goes out, he starts back home in a different way than the way that he came. And while he's on that journey, an old prophet came into town and they told him about what this young prophet did. And he said, which way did he go? He said, well, he went down that way. So he saddled his donkey and he went after him. And he caught him under a tree and he said, are you the prophet from God that was in Bethel? He said, yes. He said, did you do such and such? Yes. He says, well, I want you to come home with me, and I want to feed you, I want you to refresh, and I want you to rest before you complete your journey. Remember what the young prophet said? I can eat no bread, I can drink no water, I can't go back with you because God told me not to. But do you remember the next word of the old prophet? The old prophet said, but I'm a prophet too. But the Bible adds these words. But he lied to him. You ever had people, you see people on TV today call themselves a prophet of God? God speaks to them. They're standing there and God's giving them this message that they're giving them. What's the evidence? What's the evidence that God spoke to them? What's the evidence that they're God's spokesperson? I'll tell you the evidence that they're not. What they're telling you is not in here. You know, if you would listen very carefully, whatever they tell you, you can guarantee that it's not in here. Because if it's in here, you wouldn't have to tell them, would you? Latter-day Revelation. You know what they're doing to him? He's doing to them what this old prophet did to this young prophet. He's lying to them. That's not their fault that they're lied to, is it? Well, what happened to the prophet? You know why I got that lying picture up there, don't you? Because you know what happened to that prophet. He went back home, and on the way home, a lion slew him, took his life. Now he said, well, wait a minute, it wasn't his fault. He was lied to, yes, but he knew what God said. On two different occasions, he did exactly what God said. You know why? Because he understood and he knew what God said. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? You don't have to be lied to today because you can know. You don't have to believe the lie of Robert Shuler. You don't have to believe the lie of these TV evangelists. You don't have to believe the lies of these false religions because you can know the truth. But you can believe the lie. That's what the young prophet did. He paid for it with his life. This is much more serious. You believe this religious lie, you're going to pay for it with your soul. And brethren, we need to quit watering this down. We need to quit being ashamed of being at odds with people that are against what the Bible teaches. We need to quit saying that we're driving people off. Brethren, if people are not following the Bible, they're driving themselves away from God. Me and you have nothing to do with it. If a man or woman doesn't abide in the doctrine of Christ, he's putting himself in that position. I'm not putting him in that position. He's putting himself in that position. That's his choice. But we have the responsibility to show him what God says. And then he has to make a choice, doesn't he? He can accept the truth, like the old prophet. The young prophet could have accepted the truth and stuck with it, kept on his journey, not gone back with the old prophet, or he could believe the old prophet and suffer the consequences. You know what always amazed me about that story? You know what always amazed me about that story, even when I was little? What evidence did that old prophet give that he was a prophet? What evidence did he give that he was really a prophet? He didn't give any. And yet he was believed. People today tell people they're speaking as a messenger of God in their tongue. Where's their evidence? Where's their evidence that they spoke to God? Where's their evidence that God spoke to them? What credentials do they have? Do they have better credentials than Jesus Christ? Do they have better credentials than the apostles? They don't even offer any evidence, and people believe it. But you know what? I finally figured out why they believe the lie. Because they want to. They like what the lie represents. If they didn't, they wouldn't accept it, would they? If it doesn't make any difference, what we practice in religion. If not, then we can do anything. If it does not make a difference what we believe, let's handle snakes in worship. Me, for one, I'm not doing that. I don't like snakes. I think the only good snake is the dead one. I don't like snakes, and I'm not putting my hand in a box of snakes, and I don't believe that's religion. But, you know, I could take you to some places down in the bayou in Louisiana where they practice that as a religion. As a religion, they practice handling of snakes. Why? You know that verse in Mark 16. Even if they are bitten by some deadly thing, it will not hurt them. You go ahead and put your hand in that box of snakes, not me. Immoral acts of worship. I could take you to third world countries who practice prostitution, fornication, and they call it religion. That was done in the first century, was it not? Pagan religion tied their religious rites to fornication and prostitution. They still do that in some countries. Maybe I better not tell some of my brethren where. Maybe that's where they want to move to. But if it doesn't make any difference, it won't matter, does it? They say, well, Brother Greer, those are the extremes. So what? If it doesn't make any difference, let's make it as extreme as we can be. If it doesn't make any difference, it doesn't matter how extreme it is, does it? How could 81 people, I'll give you another example. Remember that guy a few years ago that thought that he was going to be on the Halley's Comet was coming by and it was going to open a door and all those people were going to take a trip out of this world. They had nickels in their pockets and all of them drank this drink and they all died and committed suicide thinking that they were going to go away. Now we're not talking about just anybody. We're talking about doctors, lawyers, professors. How could they be duped like that? Because they believe the lie. Because it doesn't matter. Remember Jim Jones? Remember him out of Indianapolis? Remember what he did in Guyana? Do you remember what that happened? 900 people perished. Why? Because they thought Jim Jones was God. They followed him right into the desert to their own death. We're not just talking about people that didn't have any intelligence. We're talking about school teachers, professors, lawyers, doctors. How did they do it? Say, well, they were brainwashed. They believed the lie, didn't they? But if it didn't matter, if it doesn't matter, they're all right. And if it doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you one more. What about the Church of Satan? Do you know that it exists? It exists in 29 states. The Church of Satan, its headquarters is in San Francisco, California. If it doesn't make any difference, then they're okay too. We need to have it, thus saith the Lord, according to the pattern. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, see that thou makest all things according to the pattern that I gave thee on the mount. He's talking about Moses when he was to build the tabernacle. He was to build all things according to the pattern. Why did God give all those detailed instructions to Moses? Why did he give him to Noah to build the ark? Why did he give him to Solomon when he built the temple? Why did he give him in the old law and all these detailed instructions? Why did he give those details? Because he wanted this pattern followed. Do you think it's any different today? Why did he tell us what the worship of the church is? Why did he tell us what the organization of the church is? Why did he tell us how to get into Christ? Why did he do that? Because God had a pattern. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That means by his authority. By his authority. We need to understand within the doctrine of Christ. If we do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, we do not have the Father, and we do not have the Son. Brethren, that makes it a serious proposition. That makes it a serious proposition if I'm not in the pattern. We must walk by the same rule and be of the same mind. Now, anybody going to tell me that the religious world is of the same mind? Walking by the same rule? In a couple of weeks, I'll show you that's not true. That we're not walking by the same rule. I'll show you we have some different rules that we walk by. Our practice affects our fellowship with God. It affects our eternal salvation. Please turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Look at verse number 21. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ as he concludes his Sermon on the Mount. And he's proclaiming the coming of the kingdom of Christ. He says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders? Have we not built many satellites? Have we not done this? Have we not built that? Have we not saved this many people? Have we not healed this many people? I can all see it giving our Father his Son, an itinerary of all the good they did. And the Lord will say in verse 23, and then I will declare them, I never knew you. Why? Why? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What does that word, if you have the King James Version, it says iniquity. What does that mean? It means to act without authority. You think it's a trivial matter? You think you can do as you wish? You think you can do as you please? And you can follow any course you want to pursue, spiritually speaking? You think there's no consequence in it? I think you better let's see what God thinks about it. Yes, there are consequences. If it does not make a difference, ladies and gentlemen, then it doesn't matter whether or not one believes. If it doesn't make any difference, then I can believe or not believe. But Jesus said it does make a difference. If it doesn't make any difference, then it doesn't make any difference whether one believes the Bible or not. If it doesn't matter, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I believe this is the Word of God or if I don't. If I don't believe this is a pattern, it doesn't matter. If I don't believe it's a God, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And what the Bible says is unimportant. It really is of no importance what the Bible says. And you know what? In this day and age, there are people that are saying that. There are people that are not going to miss any words with you. I don't care what that book says. I don't care what it says. I don't have to follow it. I don't have to follow every precept in it. I accept some of it, but I don't accept all of it. That's my right. I don't have to follow all of it to please God. At least I'm going to give them credit for being honest. They don't believe they got to follow it. But I'm going to tell you something, brethren. We got brethren that don't believe you got to follow it. We got brethren that think some of it you don't have to follow. They think it's unimportant. What God says is unimportant. How could anybody believe that anything God said is not important? How could anybody arrive at that conclusion? That if this is the inspired Word of God, and it's infallible, and it's inerrant, and it's in the book, how could anybody say it's not important? But that's what men are doing. That's what men are doing in religion. They're telling us it is of no importance. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It is important. It does matter, and it does make a difference. And here's why. You need to know the truth. You need to know the truth so you're not misled. Whether you're in the church or out of it, you need to know what the truth is. You need to know what it says. And I need to study and examine what I'm taught is true. You need to have your nose in the book. You need to know exactly where you're going, where you're headed, and how to get there. And you've got to make sure that nobody misleads you and puts you on the wrong track and on the wrong path. And you need to obey the truth. You need to do more than to know it, to understand it. You need to obey it. I need to be careful. I need to be careful what I believe. In Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says, redeeming the time. We need to walk circumspectly. We need to know where we're going, how we're getting there, and what God says. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to tell people it does make a difference. Not because we say so, but because the Almighty God said so in His Word. And if it doesn't make a difference, we should quit trying to convert people out of other religions. Leave them alone. Because they are all right. Please take your songbook out and turn to page 322. Whenever I do lessons like this, somebody always asks me, am I worried that I'm going to offend someone? Well, I'm not here to offend anyone. I'm not here to belittle what anybody believes. My responsibility as a gospel preacher is to preach the truth, to do it in a kind, to do it in an understandable way, and to do it in a way that you can understand what I'm saying. If you're here and you belong to another faith, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to belittle you. I'm trying to get you to study, to open your mind, to examine what you believe. And if you find it to be in accordance with the Word of God, then follow it with all your heart. My dear friend, if you find it to be not in accordance with the Word of God, then you're in the valley of decision. If you're here and you're not a child of God, there are many different answers that people would give you in what you would do to be a child of God. Some people would tell you can pray through. Some people would tell you have to have a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Others would tell you can make it known and then we would vote whether or not we want to accept you into our number. The height of all arrogance, in my opinion, that man could vote you into or out of the Lord's church. But there are religions that teach that, that you have to be voted in and accepted. Or others would tell you just to come down to the mourner's bench. Or even others would tell you to come down here and let me lay your hands on my hands on you, and that I could pass the Holy Spirit on to you, and then you could be saved that way. But you know what? I could tell you all of those things, and not a one of them would save you. Not a one of them would put you in a relationship with God. You know why? Because the Bible does not teach it. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible says on the first day of Pentecost, when they were convicted of their sins, and they were asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? These were people that believed in God. These were Jews who believed in God. Yes, you've got to believe. Faith is important. Don't want to minimize faith, but faith alone won't save you. These Jews believed on the day of Pentecost. They believed in God. They believed they had a relationship with God, but their faith was not enough. Because Peter said to repent. Why did they have to repent? Because they had sin. Sin has to be taken care of. Sin is the thing that separates a person from God. Sin needs a remedy. You don't have it, I don't have it. God is the only one that has the remedy. The remedy for that sin is the blood of Christ. And if you want to receive the blood of Christ, you're going to have to repent of your sin. You've got to confess that you're going to change your life, that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're going to turn your will over to His will. And you're going to make the rest of your life faithful to that confession that you made. And then you have to do the most debatable part of the whole plan of salvation, is step 5, is baptism. The reason that's debatable is man can't human reason why water has anything to do with his salvation.